Introductory reading, and I invite Michael to speak to us on this subject, Wise Men from the East.
Thank you, Roger. I suspect that sometime in the last few weeks you may have received a greetings card with images like these on it. You may even have sent one or two yourself. And you have this picture, these two similar pictures, and there'll be more to come, which show these three individuals wearing crowns outside a manger with the baby in it, animals in the shelter there. That one's made of stone, but the same idea. What we're going to be thinking about this morning is, what is the significance of these people coming to see Jesus? And actually, how this image relates to what actually was recorded and what actually happened. We've read the story just now. It starts off, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose," ESV puts it, "and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, there's a lot in those few verses. But the first thing to think about is, what's this about these people coming from the east to see the one who had been born king of the Jews? The thing is that the message of the Bible shows that the Jews were selected by God as the people who carried his name, people whose history, as it had been unfolded in the past and was going to unfold in the future, reflected God's dealings with people, and it was to the Jews that God's message was delivered. The prophecies that the Herod's men read were prophecies that were being given to the Jews. But there were other people outside the nation of Israel, the nation of Judea as it became in the time of the Roman Empire, who had come to learn of these things. And here's an example in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian eunuch. So he's a man from North Africa, and he is a high official as the treasurer of the Candace, otherwise known as the Queen of the Ethiopians. And if we look at the passage in Acts chapter 8, we see that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He wasn't Jewish, but he knew the place to worship God was Jerusalem. And we read in verse 28, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So he knew that he would learn something by reading this prophet, but he had a problem. He didn't understand what he was reading, and he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" The person he was talking to when he said that was a man called Philip, who verse 26 of Acts chapter 8 tells us had been told by an angel to go on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza specifically to meet this man for the purpose of showing him God's truth. So he knew that he was reading God's word, and he worshipped him, but he knew that there were imperfections. He knew that he needed someone to put what he had learned in context. And this is a theme of someone who's got some basic facts clear in his mind. The way, place to worship God is in Jerusalem, and the place to learn about him is to read his word, read his prophets. But he knew he had a lot more to learn. And here's another example too. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, and his account is given a couple of pages on in Acts chapter 10. He was a centurion of the Italian cohort, so he was in command of a lot of people, but he feared God. The scripture tells us that he had done a lot of good things. gave alms, general extraordinary to the people, and prayed continually to God, is what it says in Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter preached to him, and it's a very interesting story to read in Acts chapter 10, how all that came about. And Peter learnt something from having preached to this centurion, Cornelius. He learnt, in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God. So this is God's message given primarily to the Jews, given in the first place to the Jews, perhaps a better way of putting it, is available to everybody, including Cornelius, including an Ethiopian eunuch, and one or two others. They all knew that they had to learn more, and God made his truth available to him. Here's a couple of others. There's another centurion described in Luke chapter 7, who also was feared God and was doing things. His servant was ill, and in fact died, but he knew that this preacher, Jesus, who had come to Capernaum, was the one who could heal him, and indeed raise him from the dead, as is what happened. An Old Testament example of one of these people who were not part of Israel, were not part of the Jewish nation, who came to know God, was this lady Rahab, a Canaanite woman, a woman from a very pagan nation, a nation that was opposed to God's plan of bringing his people, the Israelites, into the land that he had promised them. But she believed in God. She had seen how God had dealt with the other nations, and she knew that God, written as the Lord there to give his name, had given you the land. She accepted that. And she, the Bible tells us, was an ancestor of Jesus through Mary. So all sorts of people come with an imperfect knowledge of God, but come to learn by coming to know God's truth. And to this now we add these wise men. They're called Magi. That's the Greek version of the word Magi, is what's there in the original New Testament. And what they knew was that there was going to be the King of the Jews born. So they said, when they came to Jerusalem, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews?" They had seen something that told them that the King of the Jews had been born, but they didn't know where. They did not know that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So they went to the capital city, to the seat of power, to the seat of the puppet King Herod, to find him, and they were wrong. So now we come to think of this image, the one that felt so familiar with, of the baby in the manger with these kings and the shepherds all around him, not to mention the animals. Just let's think about what that means, and let's think about the account as we understand it. Now, if I just read this out to you. "Three kings saw a star in the east, which they realized announced the birth of the King of the Jews. They set out to worship him. The star led them all the way. They came to Jerusalem, where Herod asked his advisors where Christ would be born. They said, 'In Bethlehem.' So the star guided the kings to the stable where the newborn baby lay." Is that right? Is that what we read? I mean, that's the picture. I told you you were going to see it more than once. And that's the picture we've all seen many times in various forms. But let's look at that. This was a carving on a sarcophagus in the 3rd century. So it was 200 and some years after the events. Quite some time afterwards, but a long time ago from now. And what do you see there? Well, you see a woman, not with a baby, not with a newborn, but a toddler. And there are the wise men, both of them. right, their gifts, as Joseph, they're in the background. So that is how people were depicting that image just a couple of hundred years after the event. Not at all like what we've been seeing there. Now we saw as we looked at the Bible that it doesn't mention kings at all. Wise men is how it is translated, and the word is magi. They saw a star in the east. Now we read from the ESV, and that says they saw the star when it rose. But if you look at the margin of the ESV, it says alternatively in the east. The Greek quite simply says in the east, Anatole the east. But people trying to make their own minds up about this have said, well, seeing things in the east astronomically means rising, because everything rises in the east and sets in the west, apart from things around the poles. So that's an interpretation that's been added. But the words say in the east. I think the point is that the wise men were in the east when they saw this star, whatever it was. They knew that it announced the birth of the King of the Jews. We need to think about why that was, which we shall in a moment. They set out to worship him, that's quite clear, and they came to Jerusalem. But is that right? The star led them all the way? Does it say that? It just says that they saw the star in the east and they came to Jerusalem. So that's perhaps can be removed from the statement. They came to Jerusalem where Herod asked his advisors where Christ would be born. Well, that's clear there with the people, the advisors, the scribes and the chief priests looked at the scriptures and they quoted from the scripture which said that this was going to happen in Bethlehem. The scripture does say that the star guided these wise men, these magi, to the place where Jesus was. Doesn't say to a stable, doesn't say to Bethlehem, but in verse 11 it says that they went into the house where they saw the child with Mary. And we can see that 200 years later, it was understood that this was a toddler that they were visiting in the house. So this was some time afterwards that they got there. And then the story, as we read it in Matthew, tells us how that the wise men went back safely another way, and Herod, goes on in chapter, part of the chapter we didn't read, went on to try and destroy this child. And so he killed those that were under two, showing that he was going for the toddlers, knowing when the star had appeared. So our image is removed. It's not right at all. But we do need to think about these magi and think about where their knowledge might have come from and what it was. Now, as they are depicted in the 3rd century, they're wearing those sorts of clothes. Now, I am not an expert in 3rd century fashion. I'm not an expert in 21st century fashion. But I am told that these clothes were typical of Parthians. Parthians. Are they mentioned in the Bible? Anybody? Who's going to say where the Parthians are mentioned? Yes, they're only mentioned once, but the Parthians are the first among the list of areas where people have come to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Well, where is Parthia? Well, I have a map, of course. And you see, it's quite an empire. It's not an empire that we hear much about, just one mention of it in the Bible. It wasn't a very powerful empire, but it covered this large area here, and it included Babylonia, see the Mesopotamia, the Tigris and the River Euphrates, and between them is Mesopotamia, and that's something an important area in the Bible. It was east of Jerusalem, you saw that on the map. There were enemies of Rome. Herod got quite flustered when these Magi turned up and asked them to see the king of the Jews. And the reason why he would be so flustered may well be this. Just a few decades previously, as the Roman power was increasing, they had looked to extend their empire to the east to deal with the Parthians, and they had been soundly defeated. That led to the politics which led to Julius Caesar taking power, but that's another story. So here is this nation of enemies of Rome, and it may very well be the case that people from that empire came to Jerusalem and talked to Herod, the puppet king who had been placed there by Caesar, who had no real power over Judea apart from what Caesar allowed him to do, and they come looking for the king of the Jews, the legitimate king of the Jews would be his thought. And if they were going to make someone else king over them, as these Parthians, who were not friends of Rome, then that was the end of Herod's time, wasn't it? So you can see how Herod got quite upset about these people coming and went into a panic. So it makes sense. We don't know these things for sure, and when we study the Bible, we do need to be clear about what we have learned from the Bible and things that to go along with it, and know our limitations. But this area included Babylonia. Now the thing about Babylonia is that it included the city of Babylon, the ancient city of Babylon, which had by now been wiped out. But in that area, the biblical prophet Daniel had been in charge of the wise men of his day. And he had revealed important things to the kings of that time, and no doubt worked with those wise men. Maybe he taught them more than we have recorded. I think it's quite likely, really, but that was 550 years before these events. There was a Jewish presence in Babylonia throughout this period, so that in 20 AD, the time when Jesus was growing up, these two Jewish brothers were made rulers of part of Babylonia as part of the administration of the Parthian Empire. So there was both the history of a very important prophet and a Jewish presence there. I'm speculating that there were further records there which these men got hold of. We don't know what knowledge has been passed down. There may have been other revelations that we don't know about. What we do know is that these Magi, and Magi were the priests of Persia, had knowledge that the king of the Jews was going to be born, and they had knowledge that there would be things in the sky that told them, were going to tell them that that had happened. That's all we know. We can make educated guesses about what else had happened, but we need to acknowledge that these are educated guesses. At least I hope they're educated. So that gives us our understanding. But when we're looking at these things, we saw the pictures that do not relate accurately to what actually happened. And those are widely circulated and discussed and shown in plays and so on around our nation. Perhaps the differences between what the Bible tells us and the story as told in nativity plays are not very great. Perhaps they're not overwhelmingly important, though we would always want to try and get things right as far as we can. But sometimes there can be some very, very important deviations from God's truth, and we need to be aware of those and to avoid those. Let's look at how we understand these gifts of gold, beauty, wealth and kingship. it's quite clear that that's what that celebrates. There's nothing in the scripture that contraindicates that, is there? And quite a bit to support it. Then we have frankincense, which represents deity, as you might have heard someone sing lately. Frankincense to offer, have I, incense, hold a deity, now is that what it says? Wrong. That is not in the Bible. And there we have a very major deviation from the truth of the Bible in what is included in this story, and in lots of the things that you hear at this time of year. Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Jesus is not God himself. He is not part of a Trinity. You saw that sarcophagus of the two wise men coming to visit the young child on his mother's knee that was made 200 odd years after the events. The person who carved that relief on the sarcophagus did not know the doctrine of the Trinity, which only came to light 100 years later or so. Only became part of the established teaching of the church in the days of Constantine 100 years later. If we look in the scripture what frankincense means, it does certainly speak of priesthood, and it speaks very much of prayer. And those are things that are very much part of Jesus' work as the mediator. But he is not God. And yes, we can say that myrrh does indeed refer to burial. So we can see in the story of the wise men, as it is routinely told, a nice little story. But when we look at it more deeply, we see things that are in that nice little story which are not right, and some things which are deeply wrong. But we also see something important. We know that God has revealed himself through his people Israel, the Jews. That is why Jesus was born as King of the Jews. And that is why is the prophet Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. But God's truth is not confined to the Jews or to the people of Israel. It has always been available to other people who are willing to learn it. People come to it with a bit of knowledge, but that knowledge needs to be refined in the way that the Ethiopian eunuch did, the way that the Magi had to learn about Jesus, the King of the Jews, not being born into the royal house as it then was in Jerusalem, but to being born into the ancient house of David and being born in the city of David. They had to learn more. And Cornelius had to have things explained to him. And the centurion too, no doubt, having his son raised from the, his servant raised from the dead, would have more to learn. Traditions can alter this truth. They can go through insidiously, go through unnoticed, as this account of the wise men from the east very clearly indicates and shows us. And that is why we, in this Christadelphian Ecclesia, are keen to look at the Bible to learn what it actually says, to increase our own knowledge of God's truth so that we do worship the real God as he really is in the way that he wants, and learn about his son, because wise men still seek him.